The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty.
So the dimwit says he's going to go to... look at Baltimore's bridge soon. In the meantime, get Buttigieg out there. Everyone will pay attention to the show versus the actual issue at hand. Who's going to pay for that nonsense? I mean, you shut down the bridge. All of a sudden, this is more money for infrastructure spending, more nonsense. And here we are again. So Biden continues on his tour where somehow people are giving this crypt keeper money, as we believe he's still alive, but nobody actually has an EKG reading.
Look, Kamala, I've come back to North Carolina to celebrate the ACA and to remind all of us.
I know, Squirrel. Nobody can understand him. It's the dementia coupled with the fact he's always been a lying whore. And I think he's talking about Kamala. Easy peasy, as she's known on this show, or the office tramp. And what they're celebrating is the Affordable Care Act. So they call it the ACA. It used to be called Obamacare. And it's responsible for a 400% increase in insurance premiums. It's also responsible for 50% less hospitals in this country, 50% less doctors and nurses. But somehow it's being touted as a success because this is as close to a success that Democrat policies get. 400% increase in costs, half the service that before it was implemented.
We can't take anything for granted. Just think back before the ACA. A patient with a heart disease.
Now, wait a minute. Before you get into the story of some fat slob, drug addict, Democrat lowlife, let's think back to before the ACA. The ACA is when people used to complain, Squirrel, about an insurance premium of under $600. Your employer didn't have to pay $2,000 a month, and you weren't really delegated to three or four insurance companies. There were tens, if not hundreds of insurers across the country. It was a wonderful time in America. Not only that, there were twice as many doctors, twice as many hospitals and nurses.
Diabetes or a child with asthma couldn't get coverage. Why? Because the insurance company considered those a pre-existing condition, allowed them to deny coverage.
What about the health care in Gaza?
Everybody deserves health care.
Hear what she's saying? Health care in Gaza. Health care in Gaza. Health care in Gaza?
Shut the f*** up.
Exactly. You still have hostages, you're raping, you filthy animals. And in the meantime, we're going to be lectured to? I don't think we are. The good news is there's still enough news out there to give us what's really going on from the people who are really fighting the terrorists rather than funding them.
The Palestinian representative here is lying through his teeth when he says that his people want to live side by side with Israel. By the way, as you probably know, he does not represent Hamas. He does not represent the Gazans. They did not choose him to speak for them. Your demand for a ceasefire without conditioning it on the release of the hostages not only is not helpful, but it undermines the efforts to secure their release. It is harmful to these efforts because it gives Hamas's terrorists, it gives Hamas terrorists the hope to get a ceasefire without releasing the hostages.
And when they are released, what do we know? Well, let's reflect on what we know from the few that have been able to be released and try to ignore the fact that this poor, beautiful young girl was raped an unbelievable amount of times by an unbelievable amount of filthy goat Casanova scum called Hamas.
Hello, everybody. My name is Amit Susana, and I'm standing outside what used to be my beautiful home until the horrific attack of October 7th occurred. I've been here for 3 times since that shocking day, and each time it's getting harder to comprehend the horrendous crimes that took place here. This was such a beautiful neighborhood to live in, with beautiful, kind, young people that just wanted to continue to live their life in peace.
And those young people were the ones that were feeding the unable, incapable morons who only live on welfare. What is it called? Palestinians? Yeah, right. Those guys.
Each time I visit here and realize that I'm the only one from this neighborhood that has returned so far, it just breaks my heart and in some ways make me feel so guilty that I'm here and they're not. Neither one of us can even begin any sort of healing process before they all return back home safely. We must do everything it takes to make sure they return. On October 7, I woke up to the horrible sound of the thousands of missiles launched from Gaza. It all started at 6:20 a.m. Around 6:45, I started hearing gunshots that kept getting closer and closer. Very soon afterwards,
she estimates in the first week she was raped 37 times by 7 different filthy son of a dogs. I mean, it's amazing she has her composure. It's amazing that anybody would lecture Israel, let alone not understand why they're offended, you moron, John Kirby.
John, what was the president's reaction to the decision by Netanyahu not to send an Israeli delegation this week?
I got to tell you, Steve, we're kind of perplexed by this.
You're perplexed? Well, that's because you're a fracking moron. In the meantime, I remember when Democrats ran on what they would do if they were attacked. You're not going to believe this, squirrel. This is from the Wayback Machine. 14 years ago, the Duchess of Chaffington, still infected with a rash that's been around since the 70s that nobody can explain, still there today.
Well, the question was, if Iran were to launch a nuclear attack on Israel, what would our response be? And I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say, but those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
But you don't want that to be the same mantra of Israel as they're attacked by another version of these moron Sharia law 7th century idiots. I can't keep track of it. Are these the Houthis, Hamas, and then what about ISIS? Let's ask the Duchess of Chaffington.
Could you just tell us what a Clinton administration right now would be doing in order to do more than
ISIS-K? Why not ISIS-H? Why not ISIS-P? Because they're making it up like their phony bull dung religion. What do you think of that, dummies?
Contain the threat from ISIS.
Well, let me start by saying why she said that, which is these are barbaric, nihilistic jihadis. They have to be defeated. They can't be contained. So in terms of what needs to be done, I think it's a multi-pronged strategy.
Oh, this is John Podesta. You didn't recognize the voice? You know why? He didn't sound back then. This is 14 years ago, too. He didn't sound the way he does today. Like he rode a horse side saddle from New York all the way to California. This is before he developed his proclivities that are sounding a lot like P. Diddy's.
The continued use and acceleration of air power against their targets, the support and equip of the fighters who are on the ground there, particularly the Kurds and the Arabs who are fighting ISIS, both in northern Iraq and in Syria. I think we got to get our Arab and Muslim partners more in the game, particularly the Saudis and the Turks, to take the fight to them.
Or we could just kill all of the terrorists, which, you know, seems to be something we're avoiding. But it's funny to watch how this is being used now to squash the concerns that the American citizens had over us funding the Azov Nazis, formerly Soviet Union, called Ukraine. So now we can use all of this as a blanket to get us all back into just cut money. And by the way, please ignore the fact that this morning we set another record in the national debt, $34.6 trillion. I guess we're not even talking about it. Do you see the market squirrel? Choppy. Yeah, it's choppy.
I am addressing you in regards to the bloody barbaric act of terror that killed dozens of peaceful people who were not guilty of anything, our fellow citizens, including children, teenagers, and women.
Женщины. Главное сейчас не дать тем, кто стоит за этой кровавой бойней, совершить новые преступления.
The main thing is to not let those behind this bloodbath commit new crimes. Regarding the investigation of this crime and results of operational search actions, I can now say the following. All four of the actual perpetrators of the act of terror, all those who shot and killed people, were found and detained. They tried to hide and were moving in the direction of Ukraine. There, according to the preliminary information, they had a crossing of the border prepared from the Ukrainian side.
The Ukrainian side, meaning us? So how are we going to get an answer out of anybody? Because already the propagandists of the government supremacists are running cover. And I saw this today at WGN as I am stranded once again in the Democrat ghetto. So I saw this on WGN News, and his name is Tom Makatis, who apparently is an expert. He's an expert in national security, but he's a Chicago Democrat expert. If you haven't seen WGN News, he looks like Sling Blade if he had hair. And he talks a lot like him, too.
Russia's president claims that Friday's attack on the Moscow concert hall was the work of radical Islamists. 139 people died either from gunshot wounds, stab wounds, or intense heat.
You know what else is amazing about this? Within hours, the American government knew exactly who did this attack. But it's been what? 2.5 years? We still don't know who blew up Nord Stream 2, right, dummies?
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
How will you do that? Exactly. Since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control.
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
I wonder if Tom McAtee, also known as Sling Blade with hair, I wonder if he could put two and two together and figure out that the Joe Biden administration blew Nord Stream 2. But within hours, they knew exactly who attacked Moscow. You know why? It's the same guys.
Vladimir Putin suggested that Ukraine may have played a role in the attack and that somehow a path had been prepared for the attackers to return to Ukraine. He offered no evidence of this. Putin says his investigators are trying to determine.
See, WGN talking mannequin dummy who was too ugly to get a job on the soap operas. He got that information because he kept ripping their ears off until they told him the truth. It's a funny thing. It's called interrogation Russian style.
And the primary instigator of the attack.
Joining us now to discuss more is terrorism analyst Tom Makatis. Tom, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
What would ISIS's motivation be? And how, I mean, you think of Moscow, especially during wartime, being pretty locked down. How did this happen?
Well, it was locked down in one sense. After 9/11, all countries around the world got very good at protecting against a mass attack. Like we suffer, they protect government.
Did you see a picture of him, Squirrel? He looks like an old lesbian from Oak Park.
Buildings, etc. But concert halls and venues have been hit repeatedly. We saw that in Paris, we saw it in Manchester, and we saw it here. I'm also not the least surprised that the four people arrested were Tajiks. Another was from Kyrgyzstan. I've been to both countries, and the reason the U.S. had me there teaching a counterterrorism course was because
the U.S. had me there. Teaching a counterism terrorist class. Who were you teaching it to, Sling Blade? Because once again, the American government, all kinds of three-letter agencies have been infiltrating this entire area for decades. And we're the good guys? Nah, not if this idiot's on my side.
Because we knew it was a fertile recruiting ground, first for Al-Qaeda, now for ISIS, because of the way...
Because Hillary Clinton and the American government were paying both of them?
Muslims have been treated first in the Soviet Union and now in the Russian Federation and in the countries around it.
Tom, I wonder if some people might be surprised to hear ISIS again. And, you know, it seems like sometimes, you know, the people believe that, oh, ISIS is no longer a threat anymore, but then it reappears potentially in a different region, but and with the same motivations.
That's because we really are so focused on destroying organizations. We don't realize that that is not the head of the snake. As long as the ideology persists, there will be new manifestations. The other is when we destroyed the Islamic State in Syria, all we did was to shift its emphasis to the branches and the spinoffs. It's really, in many respects, like McDonald's. It's a franchise and it's a brand name.
It's like McDonald's with Aloha snack bar bombs, suicide rapists, and other scumbags. And it's the gift that keeps on giving to a corrupt American government. 312-642-5600.
He believes in freedom, capitalism, and individual liberty. And because of that,
he's become an enemy of the state.
He's Sean Thompson, and this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer. Like a
I said you're going to have to go to the left. Turn to the left. Freaking moron. If it's not a terrorist, it's a Democrat. In the meantime, speaking of terrorists,
he died like a dog. He died like a coward. He was whimpering, screaming, and crying. And frankly, I think it's something that should be brought out so that his followers...
4 years of safety. 4 years of no wars. That was just too long for the industrial complex that profits and deceives the American people and steals money, not just to build new bridges that a Democrat ran into.
So this was actually carried out probably by ISIS Khorasan, which is the Afghanistan branch, which has been making life difficult.
Didn't Joe Biden give them a country? Boy, what a great 4 years to be a terrorist. What a great 4 years to be a welfare roach. What a great 4 years to be a low-life scumbag. You're really having a great time under the Biden administration.
Difficult for the Taliban just carried out an attack in Kandahar last week and may have been behind an attack some time ago in Iran.
What about the claims that Vladimir Putin is making that this has ties to Ukraine?
That makes as much sense as blaming January 6th on Antifa.
That's how you know we're behind it. Right there. Ding, 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 ding. That's how you know we're not only behind that, we're behind the Nord Stream 2. In fact, the machine of corruption always thrives under the peace-loving Democrats.
Well, the question was, if Iran were to launch a nuclear attack on Israel, what would our response be? And I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel.
Her testicles are twice as big as Joe Biden's, aren't they, Squirrel? In the meantime, let's go to the commander-in-chief, the traitor-in-thief. Let's go to the election-stealing dimwit in diapers, who miraculously has $30 million in his account from communists and oligarchs in the former Soviet Union called Ukraine.
Over 30,000 vehicles cross the Francis Scott Key Bridge on a daily basis. It's virtually, it's one of the most important elements for the economy in the Northeast.
So what did you do? Oh, you went to North Carolina to fundraise.
Be patient.
Be patient.
They have a point. We need to get a lot more care into Gaza.
So now it's affordable care for Gaza. And I'll tell you what. I think the moron finally figured a way to tear him down the way he did our health care system with the Affordable Care Act. It'll work fantastically. Lemo Chris.
Hey, Sean. I need to get your opinion. What do you think we're going to look like, the United States, if the diaper, dimwitted diaper gets reelected again? Like, you
Caracas.
Know, 4 years.
We're going to look like Caracas. You know, because another money swindle going on that the American people don't talk about. We passed $3.6 trillion. Nobody says a word. I don't see a word of it on all the financial networks. So you know what that means, right? You know what's been going on here. Is that the dimwitted diapers and his financial crew have been monetizing debt where they're printing up new money to pay just interest. So this idea that, you know, when you see him spending money and going and touting so-called accomplishments and the rest of it, what you realize is it's a fraction of the revenue. So now we're printing up debt. I mean, you want to talk about a financial calamity. I'm telling you, baby, it's going to make the Great Depression look like an appetizer. But that's what these Democrats deserve. That's why I pay off your stuff, Lemo Chris, and get the hell out of
there.
That's
right, baby.
Yeah, that's all right. One of the few places you can go, it's called the Chicago Edition, Squirrel. He's only got one, but it's completely bulletproof. Oh, yeah, you'll pay, but you'll be safe. Greg in Rogers Park wishes he had a bulletproof limousine.
Hi, Sean. How you doing?
Splendid.
Listen, I normally don't do it, but at my job, they had the idiot vice president on talking about this abortion pill as medication.
Yeah, sure.
She is so terrible.
Well,
it's
evil. In her former life, that was a big risk for her getting knocked up. Go ahead.
My point is that they are touting this as health care, medication, and all that. This abortion pill is nothing but a weapon to kill babies.
Yeah, no kidding.
But
their big plan.
No, I'm just saying they don't. The media never talk about it that way. They look at it as medication. Well, they're all terrible.
What are you talking about? The Democrat slogan: "Baby murderers unite." 312-642-5600.
Make money, smoke cigars, and live free on The Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Did you hear Nikki Whaley, Squirrel? The first thing out of this drunken, dimwit, moron, drunk with dementia, so-called prat, we'll pay for it. What the hell do you mean, moron? Why would we pay for it? $34.6 trillion and acquiring $1.2 billion an hour. What do you mean we'll pay for it? See, because when you're in this reality of fraud that the Democrats live in, money doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely, and there are no repercussions. I mean, whether you break it down to what you see on the national level or whether you bring it back home to Chicago, it's all the same nonsense. I mean, does anybody really care what we're spending on a daily basis in Chicago as it goes completely bankrupt? Of course not. All you care about is the nonsense, the absolute fraud.
Now tonight, NBC5 investigates continuing to follow the money, hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money spent on the city's migrant crisis. Now, while the city has created a website to track migrant spending, our team found there are still many aspects of this that are just shrouded in secrecy.
Secrecy? What do you mean? We got the bridge, too. You need a bridge? We got a bridge. What do you need, an exit ramp? That's on us, too. Because it's all phony. It's all bull dung. You're now printing up money to pay for debt. You know who else did that? I mean, aside from Venezuela and every third world hellhole banana republic? Germany. Way back before World War One. You know how it ended, Squirrel? With World War One. Did you ever wonder why the Biden's accomplishments are allegedly, he says, we've never, ever produced more oil? Okay. Well, if he's right, then why is it $4.16 on the corner here of Arlington Heights Road? If he's right, why is it always it's near 3-year highs? So if he's right, you know what that means? If we are, in fact, producing more oil and more natural gas than ever before and the prices are rising, that means you have no way to stop what's in the future. You could be reflecting on right now at 3.4 or $34.6 trillion as a national debt. You could be reflecting at $4.16 a gallon of gas. You could be reflecting at 7.25 interest rates as the good old days. This is what it's like when Democrats start getting ideas or are in charge of anything. John in Palatine.
Hey, Sean, it almost seems like the Weimar Republic was the good old days now.
Yeah, it could be. It's the same economic plan we have right now.
Exactly. But, you know, your last caller pointed out that I think it's disgusting how the media and the country makes a big deal about how Kamala Harris is going down to one of the largest operational abortion clinics in Minnesota. But maybe the people in Baltimore should ask Biden how quick the people of the East Palestine, Ohio, how quickly Biden's going to get out to see them.
Why didn't Kamala Harris go to that section in Minnesota where they play that Aloha snack bar five times a day and they all get down and they say their prayers like it's Afghanistan? Why didn't she go there and point out to that area?
Why don't they have a taste in Flint, Michigan and have a toast to everyone over there with the water and use their beverages?
You know what the shame of it is, John? It's a shame that this is supposedly a presidential election between the election-stealing dimwit and Donald Trump. It's a shame it's not a vote or an election to secede, because that's the only way you're going to cure it is by cutting out these bust out states. Yeah, they do think here in Chicago, Aren't you stupid in Chicago? I mean, aren't the Democrats in Illinois and Chicago specifically stupid?
Here's investigative reporter Bennett Haberly.
As migrants begin to move out of shelters, invoices are still rolling in. The city of Chicago spent nearly $300 million on the migrant crisis so far, with more than $206 million paid to Kansas-based Favorite Healthcare Staffing, which staffs the migrant shelters.
$206 million for staffing. Look at Chicago. It looks like a third world country. Take a look around. And in the meantime, it's just as bad wherever the Democrats are.
A story you will only see on Pix 11. New York City moving ahead with a plan to give migrants debit cards loaded with cash to buy food and baby supplies.
Well, let's see what else we got going on.
But speaking of human smuggling, take a look at this video out of Kinney County. This is a chase over 100 miles an hour at points. Texas DPS arrested the driver and front seat passenger. Both of them are illegal immigrants from Venezuela living in Austin, Texas. You saw two.
There you go.
Now to Michigan, where an undocumented migrant is charged in the carjacking and also murder of a Michigan woman, 28-year-old Brand.
That's an illegal alien parlay, squirrel. And in the meantime, why are they all coming here? Are they forced? I couldn't help but notice this story yesterday. There's no crying in illegal immigration. What do you mean you want to go home to your mommy in your house? Then what the hell are you doing running across the border? Did you know, Squirrel, he blamed the cartels in this? There's a lot of babbling there and some snot, but it turns out he's blaming the... Well, would they kidnap you? The way the third world, 7th century barbarians kidnapped the Israeli women? What exactly are they doing there? And then you remember the Mexican president.
With the ear of the White House, President López Obrador proposed his fix, that the United States commit $20 billion a year to poor countries in Latin America. And
$20 billion. Yeah, that's the same guy.
Tonight, Mexico's president defending his legacy after bombshell reports this week raised questions on whether his first presidential campaign received millions in funding from drug cartels.
I think the crybaby was right. He might have been kidnapped. Ryan in Chicago.
What's going on, Sean? How are you?
Good, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good, man. You're on fire today.
Oh, thank you. Felt a little off this morning, but I'm always aggravated when I'm here. You know what I mean? It's like a crime scene. This whole state is a crime scene. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So I'm sitting at work today, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, that bridge that collapsed in Baltimore, that's a terrible thing. I'm thinking, first of all, how much would that have costed if it was in Chicago?
Oh, five times. Well, Baltimore's not much better.
Done? No, how long would it have gotten to take done if it was in Chicago? And then I thought, you know, it's actually priceless because you're never going to be able to put a monetary value on how much infrastructure we're going to be losing. All the goods and services that come out of that port, I think we're headed down some pretty
dark
times.
If I was suspicious, you know what else it would be great? It would be a great cover-up for the natural costs of economic failure under the Biden administration. It's going to be a great thing to blame as people start to realize what I asked earlier before I took your call. If we're producing so much oil and natural gas, why are the costs parabolic? Why are they at record highs? And the answer is because it's a greater symptom of the cost of allowing a moron, political whore who's bankrupting our nation in office. So if the bridge comes down, this is a great way to explain future cost increases. Well, Baltimore. I don't care. I'm in Phoenix. That's all right. Baltimore. Supply chains. Just bring Pete Buttigieg out there and everybody will be afraid to criticize him. And the next thing you know, you get a bunch of morons nodding their heads. So,
it's a really good payback for the Nord Stream pipeline, too.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you a question. When you listen to that clip, now I don't know how political you are. I don't know how long you've been paying attention. Is there any question in your mind that we blew up Nord Stream 2? Is there any question?
No.
Okay,
no,
thank you.
Not in my mind.
So if we're capable of creating the greatest ecological disaster,
media says. Yeah.
But here's the thing: if we're capable of creating the greatest ecological disaster known to man, we did it. That makes us eco terrorists number one. Then why do they get to go around and pretend that they care about the environment as they shut down in eight Democrat states? I don't know if you saw this today. Eight Democrat states are going to outlaw, the way California did, future car sales of combustion engines. Did you see that? All eight Democrats did.
I also saw all the Teslas all winter frozen and not able to move.
Yeah, but the good news is in the winter, if you have a Tesla, you have a good chance of it starting on fire. At least you could warm up. Thank you very much. You see, you got to adapt to these moron eco-Nazis. Dan, Salem, Wisconsin.
Hey, Sean, you know about that Tyson stuff going on? They're going to...
Baby, weren't you listening to my show? I did that, 10 days ago, Squirrel, or 14? They're closing down all the plants, and they're opening up the subsidies. We're paying for the new plants. It's a great scam. They employ the illegal aliens. It's phenomenal. I love it. That's how you know they give their money to Democrat scumbags.
Listen, this is that Joe Biden at his best. He's doing his best he can.
That's exactly right, Joe. You hit it on your head. If you start to realize what the goal of the Democrat is, this all makes sense to you. See, the goal is to destroy the quality of life, to use the economic failure as a weapon, to seize the property of those people who resist your government supremacy. You could call them Republicans, but it's really anybody who isn't in on the scam. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show, where Democrats are always wrong, Republicans are seldom right, and politicians are never, ever to be trusted. On AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
We got the California bill. Don't let me forget, Squirrel. Did you see what happened? They said that everybody was going to make $20 an hour, except for the guys who donated from Panera to... Newsom's campaign, they got an exemption. And now it turns out tens of thousands of people are being fired across state. Another Democrat success. You know, why don't you moron Democrats stick to what you're good at? Stealing.
But not much is known about how these buildings are selected or how much the property owners earn from lease agreements.
Well, I know. Can I talk? I know how they do it. It's how they give campaign contributions, also known as legal bribery, to Democrats. Crat morons, and then they cut backroom deals where they pay for a tainted lot that was worth guts on ghoul, $91,000 a month, and nobody says a word.
Answering that is difficult, in part because of how the city structured its migrant operation.
It feels a little more translucent than transparent, right? You'll get some information, but not the full picture.
The city's migrant spending website shows more than $45 million have gone to a Louisville company, Equitable Social Solutions.
That's where a number of those...
Equitable Social Solutions. Now, that LLC was probably created in Delaware where all the scumbag Joe Bidens were. And probably before this moron fraud with that stupid hairdo with that ridge in the middle like Marvin the Martian, what's his name, Brandon Johnson, acquired the office of the mayorship. Didn't exist. But now, you're bringing home the bacon. I love it when socialists turn out to be just scumbag corrupt capitalists.
Mayor Brandon Johnson's office says Equitable helps facilitate and identify shelters through the help of another company, ReloShare.
So it's a company with a company that helps, and they help locate it. How do they do that? They launder the bribery, and then they say, I got one! These guys gave you more money!
For months, NBC5 Investigates has asked for copies of the leases for the 27 shelters the city operated. Through a series of Freedom of Information Act requests, we received just 9 agreements. Those missing include lease agreements for the city's...
So then that means you don't have the freedom of information? Not when you're in a Chirac.
...largest and most expensive shelters.
You should not have to go through the hoops that you've gone through just to get to partial information.
Joe Ferguson is Chicago's former inspector general. He's now with the Civic Federation, a nonpartisan government research group.
Yeah, sure you are. Are you still a Democrat? Hey, dummy, are you still a Democrat?
We absolutely should know at every step of the way where the public's money is going to so that we can make an assessment as
blah,
to whether or not
blah, blah,
it is being
blah,
used
blah.
Well.
Well, by the time this is over, Squirrel, you mark my words. These rats will have misappropriated, or as I like to call it, stolen $1 billion to their insiders. Tom in Burbank.
Sean, don't you love it when the Democrats eat their own?
I love it.
We got a wonderful race here in Cook County for state's attorney, and the anointed one, Mr. Harris, isn't the one that is winning. So every day they find 10,000 new mail-in ballots.
I got them. They're in my car. You want me to bring them over?
Yeah.
I think you it's down to 1600 and he's in. If you can just get the car to go over to the downtown voting office and you're in.
I'm going
to
stop off for a lap dance and a non-alcoholic beer and I'll bring him by. Thank you very much. Scumbags. Which
They're
is
stupid.
Why it's perfect to have the DNC here. It should be here every fracking year, every election cycle.
Take, for example, the city's largest shelter in Pilsen. Housing 2,300 migrants cost city taxpayers $38,000 for a single night.
Pay it! Pay it, dummy. How do you pay it? How many of you got tickets today on streets from cameras you didn't see? How many red light cameras? How many guys got shaken down? How many cars are impounded? Just pay it and shut up. You're Democrats and give the money away.
And we have first look at how the plan to do it.
Yeah, there's been a firestorm of controversy since word about the program first leaked. Our Henry Rotsoff is live at the Roosevelt Hotel, the main processing center for newly arrived migrants, with this exclusive story. Henry.
I was able to learn that the first 10 debit cards will be handed out here at the Roosevelt to newly arrived families. And once this
That's why they all have new shoes on. It's beautiful. Stealing right out in the open. That's how you know you're in a Democrat town. We'll be back.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me.
It's hard to think of an American foreign policy that is not a tremendous mistake or has not ended in death and disaster. I do believe that what we're seeing in the former Soviet Union will go down as arguably America's greatest mistake in the last 100 years. My next guest is going to help us with some perspective on it. He is Dr. Sumatra Maitra. He's the director of research and outreach at the American Ideas Institute and a senior editor at the American Conservative. Thank you so much for joining me, Doctor. How are you?
Thank you very much. It's good to have you.
You know, when you look at this at the former Soviet Union, it's not as if I'm advocating for a good guy over a bad guy. I think it's all bad guys. When you realize the tumult that has existed prior to the Soviet Union, but specifically what's happened after the collapse and the oligarch corruption, and the way in which the people were already screaming that the government was corrupt and involved in a civil war that created the Minsk Accords. Why is none of this talked about anymore? And we're supposed to grab the side of people we vehemently disagree with on virtually every policy called the Ukrainian government.
I think the most interesting point that you mentioned here is something which has been the traditional American foreign policy, but has been lost in the last 40 years, is the idea that sometimes there are no good sides. I mean, obviously, you know the history of your country, but like usually up until the end of the Cold War, we understood that there will be situations when we would have to align with forces which are not good, which are not ideal. But sometimes we have to do it to defend against tyrannical government. However, post-Cold War, the situation changed in Europe. Europe is a landmass of 450 million people, and its GDP is $18 trillion, which is 10 times that of Russia. Ideally, an American government, which is prudent and realist, would have shared or shifted some of the burden to Europe, saying that you can defend Russia, you can balance against Russia on your own, and if need be, we would come and defend you. And also simultaneously reached out to Russia saying, hey, we have got a bigger issue with China. You guys might want to align with us because at the end of the day, Russia is a Christian conservative country. And there are forces within Russia who we could align with. However, post-2016, that has changed. Hillary Clinton lost the election. We thought Russia was like our biggest enemy. And we literally like forgot that balancing idea. And we are where we are.
Did we think it or were we propagandized? See, this is the part that I keep coming to because I remember the fall of the Soviet Union. I remember when the American government touted American influence in a positive light. American money right. in an investment perspective. All of that money has been seized. And you know what's fascinating to me, Doctor? Can the American government, the way it sits, in its corruption, in its Ponzi schemes, can it really afford peace? Or does it have an interest in propagandizing and creating and contributing to wars around the world?
So you raise an interesting point. I mean, I was studying the reaction of Russia to three different phases of NATO expansion throughout the 90s and the 2000s, right? One of the most interesting points that I noticed was every single time there was an expansion of NATO, Russians got miffed, went back, and then they came back to lead a hand of alignment. I would ask you, I mean, you would obviously remember, after 9/11, guess which country was the first country to say, we are going to lend our bases in Central Asia and lead our intelligence.
Russia.
It was Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
He reached out to, I mean, obviously he had his own interests because he was fighting a war with the Islamists in Chechnya. So he wanted to kind of like align and like wanted us to look over that fact. But fair enough, he was instrumental in the Americans getting bases in Central Asia and Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan to fly to Afghanistan. But then, obviously, post 2003 with the oligarchic, color revolutions in the eastern parts of Europe, that changed. And that has never been the same since.
Doctor, you know what's fascinating? After September 11th, you're right. It was Russia, followed by Iraq, followed by Syria, followed by Gaddafi, who all came to the assistance of America. And yet, we went to war with all of them. This whole freaking thing is a scam, Doc.
Absolutely. Gaddafi is like a great example. Like he gave up his weapons of mass destruction because he wanted to align with us.
Exactly. You know,
we toppled him.
The entire thing is the avoidance of diplomacy in the name of war so the American Pentagon can steal 50 cents that they admit to, 75 that they squander. I'm convinced of it. And when you see this nonsense, I'm reflecting on George Soros admitting on tape that before the fall of the Soviet Union, he had set up foundations and infiltrated the oligarchy of the former Soviet Union in Ukraine. Joe Biden and Barack Obama go in. They give $1 billion loan guarantees to who? To George Soros. They built Ihor Kolomoisky, which is a name that is synonymous in the shadows of the energy sector of Ukraine. He's been robbing and raping his own people since the fall of the Soviet Union and always in an argument with Vladimir Putin, not to mention the only Nazis to still exist in Europe, the Azovs. What the hell is going on?
That's absolutely right. Look, there are three things that's happening simultaneously. On one hand, you have this forces, like capitalistic forces in this country who are, for some reason, not purely capitalistic, they're corporatist, but they want open borders and low labor costs, number one. Number two, you have forces in the European continent who are very much used to America taking the security burden of the entire continent so that they can spend more on their social security. And you have number three, where you have two mostly bad countries fighting against each other on the periphery of a continent which is of low strategic interest to us. All of these things are true at the same time. Ideally, we should focus on our own border, we should let Europe balance Russia, and we should just absolutely focus on China because that's the biggest threat. None of those things are happening. Absolutely right.
And the amount of thriving and profiteering from the American government and the black hand of the CIA and the NSA and all the other agencies that are operating to stoke this war, to me, is succeeding because even the American anti-war used to be liberal. They don't care about the greatest ecological disaster, Nord Stream 2. I mean, Doctor, I played this in the beginning of the show. Is there any question in your mind who did this?
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
Well, I mean, look,
how will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will. I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
It's the only beauty of having a president with dementia. He actually beefs on himself, as we say in Chicago, or he told exactly what the plan is. There's no question in my mind or the mind of anybody with reason that America blew up Nord Stream 2. Why should this point be given up by the American people?
Well, other than the Americans, the British and the Norwegians, they don't have subsurface capacity to blow up pipelines like that anyway. I mean, these are the three countries that can actually do that. Number one, Norway's not going to do that on their own. I don't think the Brits are going to do that, even though I am from that country. I highly doubt they're going to take that kind of step without American permission. So that's number one. I think one of your interesting points is, why did the bureaucracy do what they do, and why are the national security bureaucracy so obsessed with Russia? There are two reasons for that. One, bureaucracy expanded post 9/11. George W. Bush and Barack Obama's government expanded the national security bureaucracy. Now, any bureaucracy in the entire world, they survive because they wanted to survive. It's survive or die. They have to grow. That's their sustenance. They have to sustain their mission, and they have to grow. So sometimes it's just an autopilot. They don't think they're midwits. They know that we have to continue how we do. And the second thing, as of the post-anti-war liberals, 2016 broke their minds. I mean, 2016 was a clear-cut election.
Yeah.
There was structural reasons for it. But since then, it's Russia is the big bad villain. I mean, there is just literally no way to explain.
You know, I spent some years in the commodity business. And I remember before the collapse of the Soviet Union. And it's amazing how American corporatists, because they're not capitalists, the lengths that they will go to avoid competition. And the reality is, Russia has 8 time zones. It is so rich in natural resources, it makes America look like a pauper with their pockets hanging out. I think this is about protecting the idea that there would be competition, because the American corporatists don't like competition. And they'll kill as many people as it takes, tell as many lies as they want, and start as many wars. But what I love about this particular one, it's an admission on two frauds, on two lies the American people buy. The American government created this because they know that oil is organic and there is no damage that's done, even when it spills into its own ocean, which lets out trillions of barrels a day anyway. And the fact of the matter is, this is a way we can prove two notable national lies. Number one, Russia was not the bad guy and did not start the war. Number two, there is no such thing as green energy CO2 problems. What do you think of that, Doc?
No, I agree. I mean, look, it's a tragedy. The Russian security state has got no word for safety in their entire language. The closest word to safety in the Russian language is bezopasnost, which means no danger. They're a paranoid society. They have always faced, wars from Sweden, from Lithuania, from Hitler and Napoleon, you name it, from the Mongols, from everyone, right? So they're a paranoid society. But on the other hand, they also, every single time throughout the post-Cold War, they wanted to align with us, because they thought that given their shared culture, given their space technology, given their industrial base, they could actually be a good partner of the Americans.
Of course.
It's absolutely absurd that we neglected Russia and we kind of pushed Russia towards the hand of China. China, for the first time in human history, can have oil coming straight from the other side of the border, which we cannot bomb in case of a war, because that's in Russia.
It's an intentional... It's an intentional position to cheat the American people from the idea of low prices and variety, because that's really the threat that we had at the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Agree.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And this is something that you see, because throughout this process, even the Minsk Accords themselves were a demand of diplomacy. This was all about constantly pushing diplomacy. I'm wondering if you feel the way I do. It's really Great Britain that has the real hand in this thing, as they sent the guy with the Trump hairdo. What's his name? Johnson? Didn't you send him there to destroy the idea of diplomacy?
Well, right. I mean, I live here, but yeah. I mean, so a couple of things. One, Britain has its interest in having a war, fomenting a war in the eastern parts of Europe for a very simple reason. The British foreign policy for the last 500 years hasn't changed. They want a disunited Europe. And the only way to have a disunited Europe is to have America in so that there is some kind of war goes on. If there's some kind of war goes on, Europe will never be united and America will always be in. So it kind of expands British power. So that's a standard process. I don't really blame them. If I was in their position, I probably would have done the exact same thing. The second point that you mentioned is, the Minsk Accord only happened because the Ukrainian forces were routed in 2015. They tried to take over Crimea. They failed once, and they're failing again. It's not something that it didn't happen organically. It happened because the Ukrainians were in no position to take over the land that they lost the first time. And now they've lost even more land, and they can't take it over. I mean, their vaunted counteroffensive failed.
Do people understand the collapse of the British Empire in your opinion, to understand exactly the mere reflection that America is perpetrating right now and how tenuous this position is. And I'm wondering if people understand. Ultimately, it boils down to a currency war as well. It was George Soros that shorted the British pound in 94. He has a vested interest in collapsing currencies and war profiteering.
Well, at least the British had like kind of like an imperial class, which kind of like lived vicariously through America. I don't think America can give its empire to anyone else.
No.
There is no other country on the line. It's going to be a disastrous world when Pax America kind of breaks down. I mean, do you want to live under Chinese order? I find it extremely dangerous.
Well, I like fighting. And massages, right. I'm kind of welcoming the Chinese. I think you get in a fight and get a cheap massage on the corner. But in the meantime,
yeah,
what you realize is that this cannot happen unless it was government orchestrated to me. This kind of collapse, this kind of angst, this absence of the talk of diplomacy. I really do believe we are victims of propaganda. I'm wondering, do you see the correlation between American propaganda and propaganda in Germany in the 30s?
I mean, I see a correlation with the Soviet Union in the 1979. There's this book by Lewis Sell, which talks about how the Politburo was sitting together before the Afghanistan invasion. And said, like, and the realists of their batch was like, you know, we can't go to Afghanistan because it's a feudal society. We won't be able to change it. We shouldn't go there. And the ideologues were like, no, there is no country in the world which is not ready for a red flag. And we see the same kind of debate happening on our side, like, you know, there are people who are saying, like, we shouldn't go to Middle East. We shouldn't go to Ukraine. It's not in our interest. No, we can't change the situation on the ground. And then there are other people, no, we should have, like, pride marches in Kiev and Kabul. So
are you noticing the way in which it happened in America? I mean, it's really since the 2020 election, the collapse of foreign policy, the profiteering. But more importantly, in your opinion, if we can fall this far in 3.5 years, 4 years, and you can witness the angst in the Middle East, in the former Soviet Union, in China, can America survive another 4 years of this incompetent foreign policy, in your opinion?
I mean, look, the structural base of American power is extremely robust. So the American problem is mismanagement. The American problem is not like America lacks stuff. You know, it's still the biggest tech power in the world. It's still the biggest in AI. It's still the biggest in, you know, independent oil and energy production. You know, so I think there is way to mitigate the problems that we have currently, but obviously it's a question of management, and that's a political question.
It's also a damning of the intelligence of humanity writ large, the way I see it. I mean, no matter how far we pretend we're advanced, we have computers, we have AI, we still practice the same kind of insanity, piracy,
that's
fraud,
partly because
and murder.
We are all, right, that's because we are, you know, it's the curse of unipolarity. Like, there are, like, the entire bureaucracy, which grew up in the last 30 years, is, you know, used to unipolarity, and they can't think otherwise.
Oh, this is terrible. But, you know, I always hold out hope for the alien overlords.
Absolutely.
To come down and save us. In the meantime, I appreciate everything you're doing and how diligently hard you're working to inform everybody around the world. He is Dr. Sumatra Maitra. Did I butcher your name?
No, you're fine.
All right. Thank you
Thank you so much
for making time for joining
Thank
me.
You very
Where
much.
Can we can find you at the at the American Ideas Institute and the American Conservative, correct?
That's right. If you go to the American Conservative webpage, you'll find me.
Thank you so much for making time for me. I appreciate
Thank you very
it.
Much.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.
We'll be back with your calls and comments.
He will never negotiate his constitutional rights with the government. Live free or die on The Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
You found another one I love, kid. So it's now $34,601,000,000,000. It's literally $1.2 billion an hour. And the first words out of Joe Biden's mouth is, I got the bridge. I got it. You have nothing, bust out. You're a bum. Of course, that's what's intended to happen. You see, it's not the first time. Here is 12 years ago. At the time, she was a 12-year-old little girl. Her name is Victoria Grant, a Canadian.
Have you ever wondered why Canada is in debt? Have you ever wondered why the government forces Canadians to pay so many taxes? Have you ever wondered why the bankers from the largest private banks are becoming wealthier and the rest of us are not? Have you ever wondered why the gross national debt is over $800 billion? Or why...
Nothing. But you know what I like about her? At 12, she's smarter than any American Democrat that voted for Biden. Any.
We are spending $160 million a day on the interest of the national debt. That's $60 billion a year. Have you ever wondered who receives the $60 billion? What I have discovered is the banks and the government have colluded to financially enslave the people of Canada. I will share with you.
What do you mean you couldn't? Financially enslave the people of Canada. Kind of like America. And you know, it's funny because everybody focuses on Americans that have a little bit more than they have. And they want this corrupt whore government to do anything they can to take it. In the name of what?
Three important points of reference, which will hopefully spark enough interest and concern for you to continue the research on your own and to engage your government to stop this criminal act against the people of Canada.
Ah, what happened? Absolutely nothing. And what was it done for? The name of security. What kind of security? Financial enslavement.
If he's 65 and he decides to continue to work, earning more than a modest amount per year, not only doesn't he get a benefit, but to add insult to injury, he has to pay taxes on the wages he is receiving in order to finance the benefit he is not receiving.
It's financial enslavement of a social security system in this country that nobody voted for. Nobody! And in the meantime, it's the excuse used to take everyone's money, or even more pervasive. Just print up debt to pay interest. Like the Weimar Republic.
First, the Canadian government borrows money from the private banks. They then lend the debt-based money to Canada with compounded interest. The government then continues to increase taxation of Canadians year after year in order to pay back the interest on the exponentially growing national debt. What results is inflation, less real money for Canadians to spend into our economy, and the real money being used to pad the pockets of the banks.
I'm playing a 12-year-old clip from a 12-year-old girl to point out that right now will be called the good old days when the Democrat mafia steals the next election. Right now, you will reflect on right now, massive parabolic costs, insane interest rates, the destruction of our dollar, the massive growth of welfare, not to mention credit card debt and all the other things you're drowning in. These will be called the good old days. With any more time with the dimwit and diapers in office.
Also, the government gave the banks the ability to loan out money that doesn't exist in the form of loans. When a bank gives you a mortgage, which literally means a death pledge, or a loan, they don't actually give you money. They click a key on a computer and generate the fake money out of thin air. They don't actually have it in their bank vaults.
You know what'll stop this? A war. How about climate change? Also the weapons. You see, you can turn to these totalitarian, corrupt, despotic sewers to see what the plans of Washington, D.C. really are.
So today, I'm announcing that Canada is investing $8.4 million on research across the global south to better understand how climate change interacts with democratic decline.
There you go. It's climate change. In the meantime, where else can you look to see what's going to happen? Oh, I know. California, which couldn't destroy the quality of life in that state if it was drawn up on a schematic better than it's doing right now.
Boy, these were some tough mountains.
This wasn't easy. There are 100 plus hours in less than the last few months negotiating this referendum off the ballot. That was a tectonic plate that had to be moved.
This is for my ancestors. This is for all the farm workers, all the cotton pickers. This is for them.
$20 minimum wage, $20 an hour minimum wage is what they're celebrating. The result? Tens of thousands laid off. And now they have a new bill that they have to come up with. What's the bill, you might ask? Well, it's to let businesses out from under the totalitarian abuse of power that they were just celebrating 6 months ago.
In just weeks, California will raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour for fast food workers.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, the new law has caused confusion and certainly a big debate. Tonight, even more changes could be on the way.
ABC 10's Alicia Machado is live in studio tonight with this developing story. Alicia.
Well, Chris and Laura, a bill passed the state assembly today that would exempt restaurants in certain locations like airports and hotels from the $20 per hour fast food minimum wage.
Why, you might ask, Squirrel? So the visitors don't see the ramifications of these incompetent moron Democrats. Because what they've done is eliminate tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs. Businesses have pulled out like it was the south side of Chicago. There you go. Have you had enough or are you thirsty for more? And that's why the welfare rolls keep growing and growing and growing. Bidenomics. Rich, Indian Head Park.
Hey, Sean, how are you tonight?
Splendid.
John, you know what's a joke? These people on CNN and MSNBC and all of these Trump haters, yeah. They said once again, Trump got special treatment
it's phenomenal.
Court lowered his bond from $454 million to $175. I mean,
Rich, have you ever seen people who have doubled down on stupid the way the Democrats have?
Oh,
you know, it was yesterday. It was the day before yesterday.
Every
you know, and
day.
You think it's just Letitia. There is a former New York attorney, U.S. attorney named Nick Ackerman, who was celebrating the destruction of Donald Trump. And here was this is from the day before yesterday.
Do you think that actually happens, or is that just an empty threat?
Oh, no, I think it's real. I mean, she could have done this 30 days ago. She gave him 30 days as grace period to try and get it together. It's obvious he cannot, even though he...
She didn't give him 30 days. It's the law. Do you see how quick they want to seize property? These are third world Marxist, Venezuelan, dictator, Cuban, fascist scum. They're American Democrats. Look at how they celebrate bankrupting, or at least their attempt to bankrupt him, and how they make it up. This isn't just some schmuck. This is the Attorney General of New York, the previous one, Ackerman.
He said this morning,
by the way, bears a striking resemblance to a turtle without a shell.
That he had $500 million in cash. Well, if he's got $500 million in cash, that's going to be the first amount that Letitia James is going to seize with a restraining notice on Monday. What you can do with that judgment is basically just blanket the town, blanket the world with restraining orders until you get all $500 million.
So I want you to understand, these are lawyers that understand the principle of the American law as the shield of the citizen versus the spear of the government. But like the Third Reich, this new Fourth Reich of Democrats, they want to seize all of the money. And if you don't think it's just Trump, wait till you see what happens when it's the IRS who's coming after you if you shorted them $500, but they can't find 50 cents out of every dollar in the Pentagon. You see what I mean, Rich?
Right.
It's a travesty. This is, you know what's sad when I talk to you? Because I know you're a veteran, like so many veterans out there. This is the exact opposite of everything you believed this country was when you went away. Sad day.
Yep.
Called American Democrats in charge. And you know what's even worse, Squirrel? They can't fracking talk anymore.
What did you make of Israel's decision not to attend this meeting this week?
Oh, I don't want to get into that.
We've got
plenty of time to talk about Rafah.
You mentioned the port. The port. Can I ask about cars? About the port.
The little girls around him, the Marxist mafia, they told him, shh, you can't answer yet. I wonder if they're aware just how many people would be excited if a former Democrat actually joined the ticket of Trump. This is my call, Squirrel. I'm telling you right now, I know it's a long shot, but I say this is the vice president.
The Biden-Harris administration and the Democrat elite across Washington are intentionally politicizing and weaponizing the tools of our own government and their friends in big tech and social media and their friends in the mainstream media to take away our freedoms, to take away our right to free speech, to violate our privacy and our civil liberties. They have become the party of war. Unfortunately, the Democrat Party has become a party that is undermining the very fabric of our country, of our freedom, of our Constitution and the rule of law. Which,
what do you mean you don't know who that is, Squirrel? That's the former Democrat candidate for president, Tulsi Gabbard.
It's why ultimately I left the Democratic Party. It's why I am sounding the alarm bells as we head into this very critical election year about really what's at stake.
The reason that I know you're sincere is because you left the Democratic Party at exactly the moment that it solidified its position as the party of the rich.
Yeah.
And there's so many rewards that you can receive if you sign up, because there's a lot of money to pass around if you do that. But you left.
I wonder if they're going to put two and two together to understand why we're not only going to countries with every... I mean, go to war with countries with every country that threatened to stop using the dollar, but also poses as competition. Wonder if they'll figure that out. Or the fact that Joe Biden received $30 million to be a traitor to his nation from the Chinese communists and former oligarchs. 312-642-5600.
Call Sean now. 312-642-5600. AM 560. The answer.
She bought the calls, Squirrel, the calls. Did you know that 90% of option trades expire worthless? Unless, of course, Nancy Pelosi does it. NVIDIA stock price. Let's see, what is it today? $925.61. Pelosi bought it when it was $170. She bought the options to go long at a fraction of the $175. She made a killing. So when she talks, Squirrel, pay attention. This dimwit drunk from the 80s, get off the table! This moron is worth hundreds of millions.
Well, I think that it's very clear that Trump is a grifter. That's just the way it is. And integrity, which is something that we all want to always deepen in politics and in government, has...
She's an inside trading whore who has not just front-run policies and insider traded, but she's worth hundreds of millions, never worked a day in her miserable life. I mean, unless you call Botox in your face work, then in that case, she's worked like she was in a coal mine.
Just flown the coop with him.
Flown the coop with him. And the real threat to it, the real threat to this whole thing, is the idea that Donald Trump disrupts the machine of corruption. Think about it. In the 4 years he was president, not only was our economy better as individuals and citizens in this country, but there was peace. There was no way to really steal.
One of the things that Congress has given USAID since this full-scale invasion began is an unprecedented amount of money in direct budget support, which
direct
sounds kind of obvious.
Direct budget support. You know, that's what Chicago needs. That's what California needs. It's exactly what New York needs. They need direct budget support because, like Ukraine, they're corrupt and they don't produce anything. They exist on welfare. And the nice part is once that direct budget support comes in, guess what, Squirrel? That's when the real stealing happens.
President Zelensky is under fire for corruption. A new report says he embezzled the aid money.
I'm playing you this because it plays directly into the hands of what happens in Chirac and New York and California, Philadelphia, anywhere there's a Democrat administration.
That's $280,000 a week, or more than $2.5 million over the course of 3 months. It was a similar story over at this Ogden shelter. For 3 months, $1.8 million. And at the Inn of Chicago, which at one time provided 1,500 beds, the cost, $344,000 a week.
$344,000 a week for a place that cockroaches have a hard time staying at.
Total that out to a year. It's more than $17 million.
It's tough to say how that money was divided up. Equitable Social Solutions directed our questions back to the city. ReloShare did provide a statement, but it didn't answer any of our questions. And the property owners either didn't return our calls or would not comment. If there are public dollars
That's
involved,
awesome.
Shouldn't the public know where they flow?
100%.
Alderman Andre Vasquez chairs the city council's
mic. Oh, get the hell out of here. Another crook. He's the good guy. Why, it didn't go to your campaign contributors? There are no good guys when there's a D after their name. You think this is a new grift? They've been doing this, please, since the beginning. David and Lansing. What are you doing? Are you talking on the Obama phone? Why can't I hear you there, knucklehead? All right, you're gone. He wanted to tell me about Nancy Pelosi's father. He was a cream puff compared to these Chicago crooks. Sure, he was an old-time gangster. Everybody knows that. But he didn't steal nearly as much as the Chicago Democrats today.
Committee. He said even aldermen have had a hard time accounting for how these dollars have been spent.
I think something that we've been looking at is how to really get more mandated reporting
from the government as they're making decisions, because our constituents are asking us those very questions.
I'm not looking to make any money on this.
Did you hear that guy? It sounded like a tape out of the Ravenites Club. I'm not looking to make any money on this. These Cadillacs aren't going to buy themselves.
Randy Schifrin told me he offered up a vacant property on South Michigan Avenue to the city last fall for $1 a year. The city, he said, passed on the offer.
They made a date with me to come and view the building, her and her group, and then at the very last minute, they were called back.
In response to other reporting that the city had months ago turned down offers for other potential shelter sites from the Archdiocese, Mayor Brandon Johnson pushed back.
All right, good afternoon, everyone.
Telling reporters the city is now working with the Archdiocese to bring one shelter online.
But
come on, the Archdiocese isn't going to give this guy the kind of money he needs to buy those $6,500 suits and not pay his water bill. In the meantime, if that's not bad enough, Squirrel, the open and notorious political corruption and the thievery we see right before us, the quality of criminals in this state, in this city, have really hit the dirt. Turns out they're a bunch of Sallies.
A man told police he was kidnapped, sexually assaulted, and robbed in River North.
A man told the police he was kidnapped and sexually assaulted? Who kidnapped you, Hamas? The goat Casanovas? I mean, what is this? Is this what's going on? Chicago gangsters are like P. Diddy?
A man told police he was kidnapped, sexually assaulted, and robbed in River North.
Wow. Forget about it. I thought the robbery would be the worst thing. I was wrong. Ralph and Rantoul.
Hey, Sean. I apologize up front, but I've kind of lost track on the scorecard of who's out stealing whom. Could you kind of run a simple tally for a guy like me who's finding it hard to keep up with the massive amount of thievery?
Those daily short-in-the-pants gangsters that just stole a couple of million every now and again, they're being outdone by a moron that can't spell school and somehow work for CPS by the name of Brandon Johnson. Like a big Lori Lightfoot, Ralph, wears the same outfit, only this time he kind of looks better than she did. We'll be back.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
Interesting times in American history, it really is. I believe every generation always feels like they're the generation in which the world is ending. So I try to keep that in mind as it looks more apparent than ever that the world is ending. But one thing is for certain, I've never seen a tumultuous time in American politics to this level. I think it's a culmination of times of the past where people had faith in politicians when they never should have. My next guest has been around politicians for many, many years. He understands the good, the bad, and the ugly. However, the thing to keep in mind is that as the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, he led the state GOP to its biggest victory in history, helping elect Sonny Perdue, the first Republican governor since Reconstruction. His opinion is very valuable, as is his support. He is Ralph Reed, Faith and Freedom Coalition founder. How are you, Ralph?
I'm good, Sean. Good to be with you.
You know, what's interesting is as we go through what you've witnessed and what you've seen, the rise of the Tea Party, the betrayal of the Tea Party, the rise of the Republican agenda, the betrayal of the Republican agenda. I'm sure you didn't think one of the greatest advocates for the right of the baby to live would be Donald Trump, did you?
Well, God certainly has a sense of humor, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. I'm convinced he's Don Rickles.
There's there's an old cliche in politics, and like a lot of cliches, it's a truism. Politics makes for strange bedfellows. And I got to know Donald Trump in the 2010-2011 period. We became friends. He was looking at running in 2012. He ultimately did not run in 2012. But I did get a chance to know him. I had him at some Faith and Freedom events. I would meet with him at Trump Tower when I was in New York. And we talked through these issues, Sean. And I was not surprised at all, honestly.
Well,
I wasn't surprised that he ended up being the greatest champion that we'd ever had on many of these values issues.
I mean, many of them. The lives that Donald Trump is responsible for saving is a hard number to quantify, whether you look at foreign policy piece he delivered or whether you look at the reality of his putting judges forward to eliminate what I see as the greatest evil of mankind, the idea that we kill the most vulnerable human beings on the planet, the baby. Yep. So for those reasons alone, I mean, it's an amazing success story. But the Leviathan of corruption is heavy against him. And what you see now is, I think, arguably the greatest misuse of American governmental power in the history of this country since the Civil War and since the Revolutionary War. And the government is clearly mounted up, not just against the man, but against many of his supporters. And I'm wondering how you see it.
Well, you know, I think I'm like a lot of the American people, not just Republicans, not just conservatives, but frankly, a lot of independents who look at this and see an undermining and an abuse and a destruction of the rule of law, who see the criminal justice system being used as a weapon to try and bankrupt, financially destroy, and throw in prison the leading opponent to the incumbent president of the United States. Now, look, Sean, we've come to expect this kind of thing in third world countries like Venezuela. You see it unfolding right now in India. You know, we're used to seeing people thrown off the ballot, you know, the kind of things Putin does in Russia where he jails his opponents, political opponents, on trumped up charges. But this is systematic, it's deliberate, and whether it's the Alvin Bragg case, which begins next month in New York, or the Fannie Willis case down here in my hometown of Atlanta, Georgia, you know, in every instance, these prosecutors coordinated with and met with, in some cases for hours, with people in the Biden White House counsel's office and the Department of Justice. This is a coordinated effort to disqualify the leading political opponent of the incumbent president, and it's an outrageous abuse of power.
What I'm curious to know is that you've been around these frauds in politics for decades. You have, and you've been a victim of their deceit. You've put support in some cases behind Tea Party guys who promised you one thing and as soon as they left the room did another. None of this could happen in America without the more than just the go along to get along political prostitution you've come used to. Are you starting to feel that the system is a Leviathan the way I do, and it will protect itself rather than expose itself? And to me, the greatest threat Donald Trump presents to the Leviathan is the fact that he sees things with outside eyes, and he doesn't want to work in a corrupt political hierarchy system. And that's what we're witnessing, because that's really the benefit of Donald Trump. Whether you love it, personal aspects of his personality or hate them, it's irrelevant to me. The greatest successful president in foreign policy and domestic, the way I see it. But more importantly, it's because he never worked his way up through the Rube Goldberg system of political prostitution, the way you've witnessed people do it. And I'm wondering, do you think that's the real threat he poses? Because we're never going to see that again in our lifetime, are we, where somebody comes from outside and becomes the president?
There's no question that that's the threat that he poses. And, you know, he came in as the ultimate outsider. I mean, think about it. Nobody in the 240-year history, give or take, of the United States under the Constitution had ever been elected president without either holding elective or appointive office or being a war hero like a Ulysses S. Grant or a Dwight D. Eisenhower. Nobody had come from outside the system like Trump did, and they can't control him. They can't intimidate him. He's independently wealthy, so he doesn't need their money. And I think another thing that I learned from getting to know him that I think a lot of people miss is this is a man who has been one of the wealthiest and most famous people in the United States, if not the world, for 30 or 40 years.
Yes.
And he knows everybody. He knows all these people. You know, all the heads of the major news organizations, all the heads of the major companies. He knows them, in many cases, personally. And he's not intimidated by him. He's, you know, he He's not somebody that they can.
Ralph, do you know? That's why I didn't like him. Did you know that? When he first came out, I had followed him for years because you're a poor kid growing up outside of Chicago. And in the 80s, Donald Trump was the guy. And you started to look at him, and I always wanted to be in there. I admired him. I learned everything I could. And I was fascinated with the fact he was giving and hiring some of the biggest scumbags in Chicago, hiring them. Ed Burke, who's just been convicted of 14 felonies. He hired him. He was his lawyer. He gave $50,000, you know, to politicians. Look at how much money he gave Chuck Schumer. So I was thinking to myself, this guy, when you have all that money, why would you go along to get along? Why wouldn't you stand against the system and tear it down? And he outperformed my anticipation of his legacy. He did far better than I ever imagined. And what he really represents is the lengths in which the political prostitutes will go when they see you as a threat, because he's the same guy that used to contribute to their campaigns. And I'm wondering, in all of your years of being involved in this, do you think maybe that's the problem in our system, that we have this unfettered money in politics, and for us to continue to play this game of outspending the nefarious players, you can't really do it because there's a lot of money in corruption?
Well, I think that's a problem, but I think an even bigger problem, honestly, even a bigger problem than the role of money in politics, is the ability of the media and the left, and we've seen it this week with Ronna McDaniel at NBC News. We've seen plenty of examples of this. We saw the way they went after Brett Kavanaugh when he was nominated for the Supreme Court. It's their willingness to engage in any lie, to engage in any smear, and destroy anyone, shred their reputation, destroy them financially, and their objective is to either destroy people or cause them to walk with a limp for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And they play for keep, and there's nothing they won't say, and there's nothing they won't do.
Is there a bureaucracy they don't control? I mean, that's another thing that I find fascinating. You know, Lois Lerner, the scandal came out and it just went away. We just ignored it. But those bureaucrats still exist there. And I'm wondering, is that something that you think will really come with the gates being unleashed and the bureaucrats being unleashed against anybody who isn't part of what I call it, the mafia or the Democrat Party? See, in Chicago, you start to understand very few businesses exist that don't play ball with the crooks and the thieves and the mafia members. Are you concerned about that in the next outcome of the election? Because I'll tell you, Ralph, I was doing election coverage. I do not believe that Joe Biden won the first one. I have never equivocated on that. So I don't know what's been put in place to stop him from stealing the next one. But the reality is, I think the next one is the last one. Because I don't think that there's anything to prevent them from persecuting any political opposition. Do you?
You know, I'm concerned about it. I have intimate familiarity with this. I had personal friends of mine who were nominated to head cabinet departments that served in the president's cabinet and headed independent agencies that were systematically undermined by civil servant, quote unquote, you know, the bureaucracy within their own department.
Yes.
Leaks designed to destroy them, cases where the staff would come in and make a recommendation and they would say, well, is this really how it's done? And, oh, yeah, this is how we always do it. And then after they agreed to it, they leaked it to the media to try and destroy them. And I can just give you one example. There are so many. But when Ben Carson's office was renovated, when he was Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, it was recommended by the civil servant staff at the department. They were the ones who picked everything, and then they leaked it to the media and launched an investigation and tried to have the guy driven out of office. So, am I concerned about it? Yeah, I'm very concerned about it. I mean, if you walk into a cabinet department with 40,000 or 80,000 employees, and you walk in the door on day one and you have six political appointees, who do you think is going to win that game?
Oh, it's just sickening. It's so sickening, Ralph. And the problem I have with it is I don't really have anybody on my side. It certainly isn't the Republicans. You have to remember I'm from Illinois. And you saw what they did to our mutual friend, Gary Rabine. You saw what they did to him. I mean, you know, this is why, and I know you've been in the system and you were successful in the Republican National Committee in Georgia, and you probably know how to make it work. But do you still feel that this duopoly of corruption should exist? I mean, how many times can we be stabbed in the back by Tea Party Republicans, by Republican chair people like Steele or McDaniels, Mitt Romney's niece? I mean, how many times must I turn to my abuser and pretend he likes me? I wonder, have you ever toyed with the idea? Is it time you control? I mean, you understand the wants and the desires of true good people in this country. Have you ever thought about a third party and just say, look, man, we can't continue to fund our slave master and pretend that he likes us this time?
Well, Sean, I'll answer that this way. I'm a student of history. I have a doctorate in history. I thought I was going to be a history professor. My career obviously went in a very different direction. But one of the things I learned through my study of history is there's only been one third party that ever made it. And ironically enough, it was the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Because the Whig Party of the antebellum period tried to kind of straddle the slavery issue and sort of, you know, say, well, you know, yeah, but on the other hand, this, but on the other hand, that. And they didn't want to be defined by the slavery issue, and they imploded. The Republican Party was founded in the 1850s as an anti-slavery party, and we know the rest.
Yes.
Other than that, no third party has ever succeeded in the history of the country. There are complicated reasons for that. We don't need to get into it. We don't have a parliamentary system. You can't win 10 or 15% of the vote and then control and be the power broker in the parliament like you can in Europe or, say, in Israel. You have to get 50% plus one. My own view is it's a fool's errand. And so what I have done, Sean, is I've devoted my career as a pro-family leader, as a social conservative leader, to changing the direction of the country by working within one of the two major political parties. Now, I'm not saying the Republican Party is a perfect vehicle. It's not. But it has certainly served our purposes in the sense that, even though people told us to give up and throw in the towel, we did back enough Republican presidents who promised to appoint pro-life Supreme Court justices. Were we betrayed? Yeah, you bet we were betrayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what, Sean? We hung in there, and Donald Trump didn't keep his promise once. He kept it twice. He kept it three times.
Yeah.
With Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. And Roe v. Wade is on the ash heap of history where it belongs. And that historic victory, Sean, this is important, would have never happened if social conservatives and pro-lifers had bolted and started a third party. Would have never happened.
I agree. Well, I agree. I'll give you 2.5 with the point is I think Donald Trump was betrayed a little bit by some of the people he put in there. But I will say this. How do you feel? Because I know I'm livid. I'm absolutely livid with Mike Johnson. And this last continuing resolution, and you fund these baby killing fields in Illinois and across the country, you blindly give in and you put up all this money. So because you know this because I know how you study the numbers. Abortion is actually up, even though Donald Trump did it, because these baby killing field, the corrupt Democrat mafia states like Illinois, they not only doubled down, they made it so that all good people have to pay for it now. So once again, Mike Johnson, who is supposed to be like the old Tea Party guy, he's either stupid or corrupt. That's the only conclusion I can come to. And I know that you don't like that and I should be a little bit more genteel, but I can't because I'm a terrible slave. And this idea that I have to put my faith and pretend that the Republican Mike Johnson is helping me. This guy's double-crossed me since he grabbed the gavel almost as bad as the guy before him.
Well, look, I share your disappointment with where we are. I will be honest with you. This is not my first rodeo. I think Johnson would be either the fifth, sixth, or seventh speaker that I've worked with. And some of them, like Newt Gingrich, I was very close to. And I can just tell you this. You could make St. Francis of Assisi Speaker of the House, and you give him a one-vote majority with you know, let's call it a half a dozen to a dozen of them that are going to vote against you on every vote.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, pure enough. And you can't pass anything.
Well, that's that, as a student of history, you know this. That's what our government is supposed to be. Nothing. My offer to you is this. Nothing. So who do I need? I can't. I'm not as scholarly as I should be in apostles. But was it John the Baptist that was a tough son of a gun, or was it Paul that wanted to fistfight everybody? That's who I want as the speaker. Who do you think?
A little bit of both.
There you go. I'll take a combo of those guys, because we need somebody to stand up like a man rather than roll over as we're funding some of the greatest evils in history. That's what's happening under the Biden administration.
Look, I'm not defending everything in that bill. I'm not going to defend the indefensible, okay?
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. We defunded UNRWA, the United Nations refugee organization that was literally helping to fund terrorism in Gaza. We zeroed that out. We also kept all of our pro-life riders. We maintained the Hyde Amendment over Biden's objections. I'm not defending everything in the bill. I'm telling you that politics is about math. It's not about art, okay? It's about 218. And if you can't get to 218 in the House, you can't do anything. So what I would say to my conservative friends with, I don't know what, a little less than 8 months to go before this election, you want a better outcome? Then get a better outcome. You know, we need 230 to 240 Republicans in the House, not 218 or 17. And we don't need 50 or 51 in the Senate. We need like 54 or 55. Mm. And Trump needs to win so big that it's over by 9 p.m. I don't want anything that goes on for 3 days.
Oh, Ralph.
You know how that will
you see
end.
What's going on in Cook County, Chicago? You see right now? They're finding ballots in trunks again. The whole nine yards. So, you know, this is why, to me, you got to stand when you can. You know, and a coward dies a thousand deaths, a man only once. I would love the opportunity to say nothing. I give you nothing. Shut the son of a gun down, because people need to learn 80% of it runs on autopilot anyway. I mean, we're scared into this fear mongering. We need the government to stay open. Who's really going to suffer? Nobody, except the government employees. And that's the nice thing I want you to tell Mike Johnson. But then again, Ralph, I'm a terrible, terrible team player. Always was. Ask my old football coach. Terrible team player. But Ralph Reed, you are a great team player. And I respect your opinion, and I know you've been around it long enough. Just give Mike Johnson that message from me, and we'll all be square. What do you say?
I sure will. I'll be happy to, John.
Thank you, Ralph Reed. I appreciate you making time for me. And more importantly, and I mean this, I appreciate the effort you put forward to constantly fight the Leviathan. I do. We may disagree on the plan, but we don't disagree on the wanted outcome. Thank you very much, Ralph Reed, for making time for me.
Thank you, Sean. Great to be with you, my friend.
You too. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
Broadcasting from the petri dish of corruption known as the state of Illinois,
in the upper Midwest, the nation, and around the world.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
I love when the phone lines fill up. Don't you love it, Squirrel? It's a good indicator. Tony and Bartlett.
Sean, you gotta love Chicago.
Yeah? Why? Because I had a good time there through the 90s, 80s, late 80s, and all the way up to 2005? Are you there? What happened to Tony? Did you hang up on him? All right, we don't know what happened. Tony, I was dying to talk to you. John in Wheeling.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi. Sorry. just curious if you heard of Omega for America. I don't work for them. I'm not plugging their website, but I was blown away when I saw what they're doing.
What are they doing?
They do some kind of a fractal analysis on huge databases. They say they can search records millions of times faster than ever before. The ERIC system never finds any voter fraud or any problems there, and they're able to drill down and find exactly which voter IDs are at. Sorry, I'm driving. No. Which voter IDs are registered at, say, some gas station or some hotel? Yeah, it's like everything, specifically who the people are, and how many IDs they have and where they're registered. It's just everything. It's like everything we needed. And supposedly now they are already working with multiple states, including Illinois.
Really? Does the owner have life insurance?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, me too, because they're going to Epstein that son of a gun. The last thing these Democrats want are clean voter rolls, but I hope you're right, brother, because that'll save us. I appreciate it. Keep me posted on that, John and Wheeling. Tony and Bartlett, what was the question?
I'm back. I said, Chicago, you got to love them. They hire a company to find real estate for migrants.
It's the best.
All I got to do is call Remax, right?
Well, I don't know if they'd call Remax. A lot of people are leaving. Are you aware of what's going on in Chicago real estate? Did you hear about this guy that bought back an office building he sold at 1333 North Kingsbury? He sold it to Credit Suisse, a company affiliated with the Swiss bank Credit Suisse. He sold it 7 years ago for $27.8 million, and he bought it back last month for $10 million. That's a nice arbitrage if you can get it right. That's almost like 330 Adams, which sold for $4.5 million after selling for $54 12 years ago. So, you know, Tony, that real estate's a tricky thing, unless, of course, you got a mayor in your pocket. Then you could rent out chemically infected land for $91,000 a month. It's a good scam if you're in on it. Judy in Lamont.
Hey, Sean. How are you? Mom says hi. I am calling because I don't know if kind of all over the map here, but you always are talking and people are talking about a republic versus a democracy.
Yes.
And last night I came upon a little thing that somebody sent me. It's 10 minutes by a guy named Dan Smoot. Do you know Dan Smoot back from the 1960s, 50s and 60s?
I do not. I do not know Dan Smoot. Smoot.
Little homework for you. It's very interesting. A former FBI agent, good guy. If you do Wikipedia, I did real quickly. It said extremist broadcaster, right-wing extremist broadcaster back in the 60s. But in any event, listen to it. It's 10 minutes. Republic versus democracy.
Well, I mean,
it's wonderful.
I think that's for people who don't already understand the benefits. I mean, I'll listen to it, and I'm for everybody to listen to it. But there's a reason that the language has been so bastardized, where you get a bunch of morons talking about a democracy, because in a democracy, the 51 take away the rights of the 49, which is really how these Democrat sewers work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you see, and when you see what's happening and the threat. And the guarantee of what will happen in the future should the so-called democracy win is that those 49% will not only have their rights taken away, but all their property. I mean, that to me is something that people need to pay attention to. So if Dan Smoot can help me do it, I say smoot along.
Yeah. 10 minutes in 1966. And it's just great because it talks about right off the bat. He talks about changing the language. They hijacked the language. And it's like you're listening to it just happened yesterday. Yeah. And he's all the way back in 66 talking about it. So,
I'm torn on 1966. Absolute fantastic cars, but terrible pantyhose for women. So it's really a give and take.
I was 4 years old. I was four. I don't think you were born yet. I was four and just kind of making my snowmen and snow pies and all that good stuff.
Yeah, back when they had a tomboy. You're lucky you didn't exist now. You'd be walking around singing an entirely different tune.
Climbing the trees, baseball, basketball, everything. Yep, definitely.
All that without genitals for a man. Thank you very much, Judy. Appreciate it. Robert in Bloomingdale.
Sean, how are you doing tonight?
Splendid. How are you, kid?
I'm doing all right, my friend. What do you think about Robert Kennedy's pick for a vice president? Is she a flaming radical, or what do you think?
I have to admit, right when my show went on, he still was talking and coughing and wheezing. Who did he pick?
Oh, geez, I know she's a aunt.
Did you just call me to talk about the pick? She's a Biden donor.
Yeah, well, I guess. You tell me, because I don't know.
They're Democrats. They're Kennedys. Come on.
Yeah, well,
Nicole Shanahan.
Yeah.
Let's go down with this. I don't like her. Let's start there, like every other political whore. Let's start out, I don't like you, and then you tell me why I should. And that's just if he's going to run as an independent, which is clearly just another Democrat. If she gave money to Biden, do me a favor. Go wallow in Bidenomics. Stay in your lane. Cream Puff Jim, what the hell do you want to talk about?
The Bible.
Oh,
the
sure. Bible. What do you know about you think the Bible's a Chicago Democrat? You think anybody outside of the thieves and the rats are Chicago Democrats in the Bible?
First of all, your presidential candidate is selling the Bible. As of today, he's selling the Bible. You have to wear the gym shoes when you read it. But in 1804, when we had those agreements with Tripoli, we declared we were not a Christian nation. We were not bound on Christian principles.
Yeah. And who's the we? Who's we? Because if you Democrats are there, there's no we.
The Senate, the House, the President said we are not a Christian nation and told Tripoli that because they were Muslims. And we wanted to avoid a war.
I believe what you're trying to surmise is that there's no official religion of America. But that the
exactly.
Enlightenment is also a culmination of Christian and Judeo values. You do understand that?
Not necessarily.
Do you even know what the Enlightenment? Of course, you don't know what it is. You're a Chicago Democrat. Well, here's the scary part for you. In the Enlightenment, you don't get your cushy pension that you didn't earn, you don't deserve, and is based on nothing. Okay? So the Enlightenment and the Chicago Democrat pensions, they don't go along together. If I want to know about the Bible, let me tell you something, kid. If I ever have a question from a Bible, do you know who the last people on earth I'm going to ask are? Chicago Democrats. You guys don't know anything about the Bible. You want to know how to not satisfy a wife? I'll ask a Chicago Democrat. I want to know how to steal money or shake down a businessman? I'll ask a Chicago Democrat. I want to know how to feel good while being surrounded by morons? I'll ask a Chicago Democrat. But anything else? Keep your opinion to yourself, knucklehead. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. For all. AM 560. The Answer.
So she at one time married a co-founder of Google. She gave money to Gaston. She gave money to Biden. And she's Kennedy VP pick. Well, good. Maybe I can stop hearing people tell me what a great guy Kennedy was. He was always an eco-Nazi scumbag. I mean, he can be right about the CIA killing his uncle, and I still don't have to agree with his policies of eco-Nazism. So we're going to have to deal with the people who would have you believe in these straw horses and these frauds. Then we're going to have to deal with the kid sniffers of the Lincoln Project Republican Never Trumper scum. Then we're going to have to deal with the outright idiot Never Trumper scum. But in the end, I don't know how different it's going to be than the last time, because they obviously were successful in stealing the election in 2020. And I still have yet to be convinced that somehow we're going to win this one by overwhelming the polls. I don't agree with that. I don't care.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
You got the voter rolls. You got the same day registration. You got all the scandals that continue. And that, in a way, that brings me solace, because to think there's enough Never Trumper scum, Lincoln Project pedophile scum, and outright Chicago Mafia Democrats to put this idiot in any position made me sad.
Over 30,000 vehicles cross the Francis Scott Key Bridge on a daily basis.
Huh? Moron. In the meantime, the money is flourishing. The money's flying around. And there are no real consequences for the chaos that's really the result of allowing Joe Biden to steal the most important office in the country.
Brandon Ortiz Vite facing multiple charges, including homicide. Michigan police say he shot and killed Ruby Garcia on Friday. Garcia's sister led police to that suspect, who says she's originally from Mexico. She did not reveal how the victim and the suspect knew each other.
Michigan chaos, illegal alien. Texas chaos, illegal aliens.
But speaking of human smuggling, take a look at this video out of Kinney County. This is a chase over 100 miles an hour at points. Texas DPS arrested the driver and front seat passenger. Both of them are illegal immigrants from Venezuela living in...
What's the penalty? Little walking around money from Democrat sewers that are broke anyway.
Up by next week or so, there'll be about 115, that's 115 of these cards in circulation, serving about 460 migrants. That includes a lot of young children.
You know, and this is the funny thing. You got to hear about all this nonsense, and you realize the people in New York, Chicago, L.A., Detroit, anywhere there's a Democrat roach, and the way in which citizens have to live in squalor, not be given services while we bend over backwards to give them the people who never were here. And then we're told how virtuous they are.
In major cities across America, officials say they've reached a breaking point, struggling to handle the record number of arriving migrants. But here in small-town Fremont, Nebraska, where there are just 39 workers for every 100 job openings, some are encouraging even more legal migrants to come.
We need these people. We need this work done. This is what feeds the nation and the world.
Many of the openings are at this half-billion-dollar chicken plant, opened in 2019. Young locals often move away, leaving those slaughterhouse jobs to migrants like Vicente Hernandez. With Hispanic migrants, although it is hard, although it is heavy, they endure, he says. The difference with an American citizen is that every time he finds a job, when he sees it is hard, he leaves it, he says.
So not only do they take your jobs, they have contempt for you. It gets worse.
Hernandez and his wife are also pastors to the growing Guatemalan community.
Which means they don't pay any taxes, scumbags.
Once this town of 27,000 was nearly all white. Now, one out of
six. You know, I miss that about Melrose Park, that good old folk song donkey music. A donka, a donka. In the meantime, 800 kids they enrolled at the school. 11,000 ahead, about $9 million. But go ahead, rip the heads off chickens. We'll be back in 21 hours.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.